move to the fifth case of the morning, which is number 013624, John Doe against the City of Lafayette, Indiana. Mr. Falk.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. John Doe went to a park in Lafayette and watched children. Obviously, in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with that. However, while watching the children, he fantasized about having sexual contact with them. Mr. Doe is a convicted child molester and will, for the rest of his life, have thoughts and urges about molesting children. But he has not reoffended for more than a decade. He's in therapy, and he's deemed to be a success story because, despite the fact his thoughts will always be with him, he has learned to control his urges. Mr. Doe went to the park that night. He watched children, but he did not act on his fantasies. He left the park extremely disturbed at his own thoughts, and as he says, extremely disturbed that...
How many parks did he go to that night?
The evidence indicates that he was driving home. He went near Columbian Park, but then he went into Murdoch Park, so he went into one park.
Thank you.
And he himself said, I've got to get out of here before I do something, I left. When Lafayette learned about Mr. Doe's thoughts, it issued an order banning him, in effect, for the rest of his life from parks, an indefinite ban from the park. The ban is not based on any action, it's based on his thoughts, and it violates both the First Amendment and due process.
But you're only raising a substantive due process claim and not a procedural one, am I
correct? Yes, Your Honor. And if we look to the police report, which the city acted on, it indicated that Mr. Doe had stated he had been to a park and watched children, but did not do anything, but had urges. The First Amendment protects freedom of thought. As the Supreme Court has stated, a person's inclinations and fantasies are his own and beyond the reach of government. But it's Lafayette's discovery of Mr. Doe's inclinations and fantasies which have led to his ban order. He did not do anything. He went to the park, we've all gone to parks, he watched children, we've all watched children. He had thoughts which he admittedly did not act upon. Lafayette knew right away he didn't act upon them.
Can I ask you this? This area of what one can do with people who've committed sexual crimes is one that the Supreme Court has looked at in a rather different context. And what Lafayette did was, the ban from the park, but it wasn't taking steps, for instance, to have him civilly committed or anything like that.
That's correct.
Putting to one side the procedural aspect of the case, what kind of procedures would you have, if the Supreme Court is open to the idea that a much greater restriction on liberty might be possible because of one's status as a former sex offender, why isn't this also possible, consistently with substantive due process arguments that you're making in the First Amendment?
Because Mr. Doe was not under probation. He had not been recently arrested. He was out as a released person with no conditions upon him. If, in fact, the state of Indiana had some sort of procedure for civil commitment at the time he was released from his last confinement or the time he committed his last offense in 1990, that would be one thing. If there was a probation condition, certainly there could have been a probation condition. There wasn't. He was in Lafayette under probation and house arrest, although he was allowed out on Sundays on house arrest, for almost 10 years. No condition whatsoever. So the question here is not whether there might be a circumstance where this could be a penalty. The question is, given there is no procedure now to do that, and there is no substantive way to do that, whether Lafayette can seize on his thought, which he admittedly did not act upon, and which his therapist indicated he does not act upon, could they seize on that thought to impinge this right? And they clearly can't. Again, what we're talking about here is an impingement based on thought.
Let me ask you this. Wasn't Doe banned because of what he said he thought rather than what he thought? Why isn't this a case about restriction on speech rather than thought? Because he articulated his thoughts in that group session. And isn't that really what the city is punishing?
I don't think so, Your Honor. I think if you look at the police report again, their focus was on the fact that he had urges. And I don't really see the difference, to tell you the truth, whether he articulated it or just thought it. And the reason you don't have, as we said in our brief, many freedom of thought cases is usually we don't know people's thoughts. Mr. Doe was quite concerned about what had happened. He immediately called his therapist, who said, well, that's fine, you did the right thing, you're like an alcoholic who approaches a bar and then leaves, and told his Sex Offenders Anonymous group, and somewhere there told about his thoughts. So his thought was out there. But it's his thought that he is being penalized for, and that is a clear violation of the First Amendment. He did nothing whatsoever. It also, as we indicated, violates his liberty interest to be in the park. I think all of us have the right to enter public spaces, absent some, at least, compelling interest which is narrowly tailored. Again, there cannot be narrowly tailoring here, because what the city is responding to is not anything that was done, but what was thought. The city cannot act against people with bad thoughts, and the ban order is therefore unlawful, and the district court must be reversed. Thank you.
Mr. Withard.
Thank you, Your Honor. Jerry Withard for the City of Lafayette. Mr. Falk argues that it was John Doe's thoughts that caused the ban order. The city did not issue a ban order against Mr. Doe's thoughts. It issued a ban order against his conduct.
But the conduct in which he engaged, if I engaged in it, if I drove to a park at night and if I stood there for a while and watched some children playing, isn't conduct that the city, I'm sure there are plenty of people in Lafayette who do that. The city doesn't normally punish people for driving to a park and standing in it, does it?
Absolutely not, Your Honor.
And what transforms Mr. Doe's act of driving to the park and standing in it from mine or yours or anyone else's?
I think what transforms Mr. Doe's actions here into a bannable situation is the fact that he admittedly went cruising around Lafayette looking for
his
children.
His thoughts, his intent, you're saying.
His intent,
so those
absolutely,
are his
Your Honor.
And so my problem is, how far is the city of Lafayette prepared to take this? I would assume at a minimum, you know, somebody who has been convicted in the past of rape can be banned from your swimming pools, and perhaps you can ban Mr. Doe from malls around Lafayette and downtown streets. Perhaps you can ban him from the public library. Thoughts get carried around with you wherever you are. And this begins to sound like a very troubling proposition, given that we have constitutional concerns about status offenses, for example. He does have a certain status as a former offender, but you don't normally punish people for that because of the liberty interests implied.
Your Honor, we have not punished him solely because he is a three-time convicted child molester.
Well, in sure fact, you did. You wouldn't have prevented anyone else from using the park.
Well, Your Honor, we did it only after he engaged in this conduct in January 2000, which we felt was dangerous to children in those city parks.
But it's not the conduct in isolation, as you just said. It's the conduct plus the thoughts that caused you to do it, plus, of course, the breach of confidence. If his group or his therapist, whoever it was who breached the confidence, hadn't passed this information along to the police, we wouldn't even be here. I can be sitting here thinking about, you know, Mozart's opera Marriage of Figaro, and we wouldn't be punishing me for it, even though I should be paying attention to you.
I suppose that's true. By the same token, if a police officer or some other person had observed him doing what he was doing out there that night in the park, and the information had come back to the city, I suspect we would be here under those circumstances as well.
Because you think so? Just his presence in a park, not doing anything, not saying anything, would cause you to punish him?
Well, it seems to me, Your Honor, each of these cases has to be taken on a case-by-case basis and look at the individual facts. The individual facts that came to the city in this instance were he was cruising around, he had urges that night for children, he went to first to Columbian Park, then to Murdoch Park. As he got out of his car, he was thinking about exposing himself to those kids, having sexual
right.
contact with them,
thoughts.
All those things, that coupled with the fact that he is a three-time child molester and a long history of these kinds of problems, seems to me on a factual basis in this case, gives justification and a rational basis for the city to have done what it did, and that is banned him from the park.
Even though he restrained himself, went to the therapy session and said, I have these thoughts, I stopped, I wanted to raise this, and that was considered a breakthrough by the psychologist. I mean, so that behavior, the fact of the matter, he didn't act on anything. And I want to get back to what Judge Wood had raised. What if it was, and what you suggested, that what if it was a police officer? I guess you think if a police officer saw him and then the police officer confronted him and he articulated that he had these thoughts, we'd be in the same situation.
Yes, we do, Your Honor. And the problem here is that child molesting, as we all know, is a very serious problem around the country. We issued this ban order, not a broad-based ban order to ban him from going anywhere in Lafayette.
But you could have, on your theory.
I'm not sure that we could have, Your Honor. We're not prepared to say that.
But what's the limit, then? Why was this a rationally based ban?
We think it's a rationally based ban because it was targeted to the exact source of the problem, Mr. Doe, and it was targeted to the exact location of the problem, the city parks. The city parks are places where children gather, where little kids play.
What if it's in the public library? Most public libraries have a very attractive area for children's books, and they have reading programs and stuff. And the next time you find him in the public library, a new ban order?
I'm not certain about that, Your Honor. I happen to serve on a library board in my county, and I don't know what we would do in that situation. I think, again, that would have to be a case-by-case basis. If there was no conduct, no articulation of his intentions to do anything with children, and we're in a setting where there's lots of adult supervision, that's normally not a problem.
But, you know, the message you sent to Mr. Doe, since he does risk public library bans or further bans, is whatever you do, don't seek help for your problem. Because if you reveal to anyone else that you've successfully battled an urge, you are inviting another ban. So keep it to yourself. Don't seek any help.
If that's the message that goes to Mr. Doe, that's unfortunate,
that is,
Your Honor.
If you were Mr. Doe, what would you think?
We think, however, that the interests of children that are in parks is paramount to that interest. Particularly where his therapist mentions, and it's in the record, that Mr. Doe's triggers for these urges for children are children playing, getting excited in small numbers. Those are the triggers that cause these urges for him, and that's what you find in city parks.
What if the city banned a person from having fantasies about robbing a bank while standing in a park across from a bank? And let's assume this is a former bank robber.
If that individual has not taken any substantial steps to robbing the bank.
But he tells somebody that he's thinking about robbing the bank.
And he's looking at the bank, figuring out where are the doors, where's the driveway, where's the ATM machine. He's standing there in the park.
So the city's going to ban him from the bank?
Right. From the park, because
from
that's the park where he can look at the bank.
Raises an interesting question. I think
there's no question in this case, though, that the man suffers from, although he's trying to control it, from an impulse to do this. Which am I correct?
Absolutely.
Right.
And the information that came here to the city was that, of course, he's a former child molester. He's got these urges. He's wanting to do this, and so. The city took action to try to protect children and make sure we don't have a problem. Had this ban order not been issued, we could very well have had a problem at some point in those city parks. We don't know that. He did go to his therapist, granted, and lay all this out for him, and he did not act that night. By the same token, these triggers that he has, being around children, small numbers, when they're playing, getting excited, you find those in city parks, and it's very important that we make sure that we keep him away from those triggers. It's sort of like keeping the drunkard out of the football stadium during a football game. Or it's very much like Ms. Mays, the superintendent of the Parks Department.
What about the alcoholic who hasn't had a drink for the last 10 years? You keep him out of the football stadium just because they sell beer in there?
I don't think so, Your Honor, unless
even
his conduct...
Even though he longs for beer, let's say, because all these other people around him are having beer.
Unless his current conduct exhibits some tendency to do that or to cause problems, then probably not.
But why is it a problem if he, even though he's dying for a beer, he's sitting there, he doesn't give in to it. He leaves the football stadium not having had a drop and says to his therapist later, boy, did I want a beer that night.
Doesn't seem to me that is that your situation that you just described is applicable to what we have here. The drunkard who is at the football game, drunk, causing problems, is a different story. And it's sort of the same thing as Superintendent Mays described when she issues ban orders to other individuals in the parks who are disruptive, harassing other patrons of the park, and disturbing the peaceful enjoyment of the parks of other persons. My time is up. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Counsel. You have 4 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. The previous ban orders were issued for disruptive, harassing, or disturbing the peace type activities. Of course, Mr. Doe did none of that. He stood there silently and watched and fought. And the only information the city had was what's contained in the police report, which is that the police officer was told that Mr. Doe had stated he'd been to a park and watched children but did not do anything but had urges. That's what the city was going on. It was going on his thoughts. The city has just argued, Mr. Withers pointed out, that there might be a situation where Mr. Doe could be banned from the park if he was just standing there and we didn't even know what his thoughts are. Well, in addition to raising all sorts of other constitutional problems, as we've indicated, there are 80 to 100 child molesters, registered child molesters, in Lafayette. Presumably, I assume West Lafayette as well, presumably some of them go to a park. None of them have been banned. There's only one reason that Mr. Doe was banned here, because in addition to going to a park, the city found out what he was thinking about. And it's important to note that, and of course we all know this, he did not only did he not act on his thoughts, but he immediately recognized the thoughts were inappropriate. He called his therapist immediately, very upset, and she calmed him down and said, you did the right thing. I mean, this is what it's like to live with these urges. You first try and keep yourself removed from all temptation, and then you go back like the alcoholic in the bar. You try and reintegrate yourself into life. She wanted him to go back to the park, get back in those adult activities that you had done before. The city also pointed about triggering behavior. I think the psychologist stated that what triggers Mr. Doe is being in an emotionally vulnerable place, which typically occurs late in the evening. And in fact, I believe the evidence shows that of all the offenses that he was charged with, I don't think any of them occurred in the park. The reason Mr. Doe is being singled out now is because the city found out what he was thinking about, and punishing him for his thoughts is unconstitutional. Thank you.
Our thanks to both Mr. Falk and Mr. Witherard for their fine presentations today. The court will now take a very brief recess, and there'll be a change in panel, and then we'll proceed with today's call.